Welcome to Coastal Cafe. I'm Aaron Barnett, your host today. Coastal Cafe is a joint production of the University of Washington Sea Grant Program at the University of Washington College of the Environment and KPTZ 91.9 FM. And today we're speaking with Jake Deedy, who is the Executive Director of the Northwest Maritime Center in Port Townsend. And hello, Jake.
Hello, Aaron. Good to hear your voice.
Likewise. So we wanted to talk about COVID, of course, you know, and how that's impacted your organization. But could you give us some background on what the Maritime Center is, its mission, what you've been doing? And just give us a brief history of the program.
Yeah, sure. Well, the Northwest Maritime Center has a pretty broad mission, but in general, it boils down to connecting people with the sea. And that started for the organization 44 festivals ago, Wooden Boat Festival. That's kind of where it whole thing started, with the Wooden Boat Foundation, which then took 10 years to, you know, then create some programs. And another decade, they spun off something called the Maritime Center to create a campus. They rejoined about 15 years ago. And since then, it's really been an exercise in really developing a lot of interesting programs, community serving programs for the schools, for the community, for boaters, for non-boaters. Really just trying to get as many people engaged and excited about this great blue part of our community that, it's my favorite place to be. And we just try to get more people out there and enjoying it.
Yeah. And so could you, that leads me to my next question about the Maritime Discovery Schools project that you've been part of. Could you go in and talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. Well, the Maritime Discovery Schools initiative at the Port Townsend Schools was something we're in year seven. But it was a project to kind of help retool the learning that happened in the Port Townsend schools and make it really kind of here focused. And for us here, you know, there's a lot of water. We have water on three sides of the Port Townsend community and water that goes up and into the mountains and all around us. So it became sort of a water-centric, place-based, project-based learning idea that became a central framework of the school district. And the Maritime Center helped sort of think of that, start it, and then support it through fundraising. And then now we're just one of the many maritime and sort of water-related organizations that sort of support the schools through that framework, like the Marine Science Center and North Olympic Salmon Coalition and others. Most specifically, I guess, maybe at the most sort of apex expression of that idea, you know, it never was the mission of the school district or even the Maritime Center to make sure that the school district was doing maritime learning for maritime outcomes, meaning that we didn't want to force an outcome or on the schools that everyone should become a tugboat captain or something ridiculous like that. But we did feel like there's probably a greater than average chance that if you have students that have a lot of water-related and sea-related and maritime-related learning through their career, that by the time they get to high school, there's probably going to be some that want to start, you know, exploring it as a career. So a couple years ago now, Kelly Watson, the high school maritime instructor, she got a skills center framework. So like a half day program with students from three districts actually converged last year on the first ever statewide maritime skills center program called the Port Townsend Maritime Academy. And students got basically arrived at the Maritime Center, which was the campus of that initiative, and for half a day, they immerse themselves quite literally sometimes like survival craft drills and about sort of the learning in and around the sea, inspired by the sea, but also some of the certifications they'd need to go work at sea should they want to right after graduation. So it's pretty cool. That's in its second year. And they've actually been meeting since COVID started. It's one of the few programs in the school district that can still continue because it's outside primarily. I mean, these kids were in December repairing outboards in the driving rain and like full foul weather gear. And talk about building character while you're building skills. Pretty incredible.
How have they adapted to the COVID influx? Or what have they done to change their curriculum, if anything?
Well, you know, a lot. And a lot of it is around how do we change the way kind of the primary platform of our instruction has been these type of boats called longboats, which are inherently kind of compressed things. They were modeled after ships, boats, or like dinghies, of pirate ship dinghies, if you can think of that. So 26 feet long, 10 people rowing, pretty cramped and great in non-COVID times because they are so good for building teamwork is everyone has to work together because they're so close together. And that kind of went out the door, you know, as soon as we couldn't have people close to each other. So instead of doing that, they're, you know, all in their small rowboats or something like this. So it's become a different class with a lot of the same outcomes.
So they, now when they're in the program, are they also in a shop doing construction type project as well?
Yeah, there's a whole slew of things they do. This particular program is mostly based on vessel operations, so not the building of them.
Okay.
There is a vessel fabrication or I'm blanking on the name of it at this point, but it's a vessel construction class that has at the high school. That's part of the Port Townsend High School curriculum. That's around like building the tools in and around the shop. That would be a stair step experience to go to the Northwest School of Wooden Boat Building or, you know, any sort of trade training program. Or just learning how to build stuff, right? That's useful even if you don't pursue it as a career.
So since we kind of we jumped into the topic of COVID, I understand, well, actually I know that the Race to Alaska was canceled and last year's Wooden Boat Festival was canceled. What does the future look like for those two events this year?
Well, we just actually canceled the 2021 Race to Alaska. Mm-hmm. We followed the Swiftsure Yacht Race canceled mostly because they had the fear that the board wouldn't be open and none of the U.S. folks would be able to come. Yeah. The Vancouver Island 360, Van Al 360 also canceled. So we just kind of followed suit. In terms of the festival, we're still operating under the assumption that there will be some form of public gathering festival scale wise that will be safe and appropriate by fall. Mm-hmm. And we have a few months more sort of kind of observe and, you know, watch how public health is, you know, progressing and how vaccines are rolling out and how just sort of the temperature of our community is before we need to make a call on that one. But we're still cautiously optimistic.
Have you guys had to cancel any other activities, programs because of COVID?
I mean, we canceled all of them, Aaron. Not all of them, but it was a pretty bad in terms of the effect on our mission. When your mission is experiential education at its core and community events, you know, our stock in trade is gathering people in small groups and sometimes community-wide celebrations for experiences, in-person experiences. You know, for a long time, we talked about how what we were trying to do is be the antidote for screen time. And then when screen time is the only thing you can do, it's pretty... We had to pivot pretty hard. But we were able to do some fun stuff like, you know, we did some... boat building. We've done boat building classes, not for teaching people boat building skills necessarily, but helping people through the construction of like a home built kit. You know, there's a Pygmy kayak kit or kits from Turnpoint and Duckworks, what we were using this year. Instead of canceling those, our shop manager, Joel Arrington, actually figured out how to do it via Zoom. So he had, I think we've built almost 20 boats now with families across the country, these little 7-foot car topper prams that they could build in their living room. And they worked with Joel for about 5 half days and they're cool little boats. So that was kind of fun. And we've done some other online program too. So it hasn't really, I don't think it was a wash in terms of like how many education programs we were able to do, but it has helped to sort of keep the heartbeat beating strong.
Sounds like you can call them Zoom boats.
Zoom boats. Oh, that's very good. Very good, Aaron.
Well, that's impressive that you guys have been able to adapt and be flexible, and sounds like things are going pretty well. So I had another question about rumblings of a water taxi in Port Townsend Bay Area. Is there any diversity to that?
Yeah, one of the things that's come out of this last year is we had a donor step forward and essentially give us a boat. And usually I'll pause here and say that this offer happens with some frequency with, you know, water facing nonprofits. People often want to donate boats. And often we have to say no because the boats are sort of outside of our mission, or they're too much of a project, or it's not really the direction we were going. And so we're really careful when we say yes to these types of things. So my instinct heading into this conversation was sort of like, no, without even hearing what the details were, I was already halfway to no. But as it turns out, it kept turning into a yes for a couple different reasons. And so it's the boat is a 40-foot power catamaran. It's actually in Boat Haven right now. It says Kitsap Harbor Tours on the side because it was working out of Port Orchard, doing sort of the passenger run between Port Orchard and Bremerton and some harbor things as well. So for years, we've been thinking about how can we do a better job of answering the question when people show up, whether locals or visitors show up at the Maritime Center, a Maritime Activity Center, and say, hey, I want to get out on the water. How do I do it? And, you know, we can tell them about the Whale Watch. Those are usually pretty booked, and they're often more money than people want to spend, or more time than they want to spend. Or, you know, there's charter boats. You can charter the whole boat, and that's kind of the same thing. But we haven't had a really good answer about how do we get people on to the water when they visit this very water-facing town. So we're looking at how we can use this boat to do that in the summer around here. You know, we've talked about potentially trying to figure out how some sort of regular service between some destinations, whether it's Fort Worden or Fort Flagler, or, you know, just get people circulating around a little bit more. It would be kind of fun. But also gives an opportunity for us to give an initial on-the-water employment experience to these students and graduates of the Port Townsend Maritime Academy, these high school kids who have, you know, some pretty good rudimentary skills, but not a lot of, you know, putting them into application in a real employment opportunity. So this should be a vehicle for us to really, you know, turbocharge that learning before they give them a resume building experience before they go to their first, you know, quote unquote, real job.
So they could get some boat handling experience, some sea time for an original license.
Line handling experience, customer experience. Just, you know, honestly, a lot of times when we talk to the maritime employers about, you know, what trainings do they want? And we were thinking like, well, maybe they need firefighting or the lifeboatman or all the stuff that, like, you know, mariners need in training. But almost to a company that when we were doing our research, they just said, we just need people to understand, like, how to show up to a job on time and, like, not to be on their phone all the time. And, you know, not real specific maritime skills, but just, you know, the kind of skills that generations before that had paper out since they were 10 or, you know, or store.
One of the top requirements for working at Washington State Ferry, as I know, is that you need to show up. So right. Maybe you're on the right track.
Right. So the boat, you know, we'll use it around here in the summer, then. The idea is that we could also, one of the entities of the Maritime Center is a nonprofit that we adopted about a year and a half ago now called Salish Sea Expeditions. And they do maritime science, vessel-based maritime marine science programs kind of throughout the Puget Sound. And for a while, they were looking for a different sort of a second boat that they could do. They were using the 65-foot yawl, the Carlin, and sailboat, which has a certain quality and program model and super high impact, but they were looking for a potentially different model that they could, you know, do something at a slightly lower cost, maybe a shorter program, so they could have, you know, different outcomes for different types of students. And so this really fits in well with that idea as well, so that they could help get more people ocean literate faster throughout the Puget Sound. So that feels good too.
Oh, that's great. Would this service charge, do you think?
I'm not sure what you mean.
Well, I mean, this is sort of a tangential question, but, you know, I mean, if you were to offer some sort of water taxi type service, would there be a nominal charge?
Yeah, we'd operate it with some sort of fee-based service for certainly,
okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the idea is that, it, you know, part of the goal of that sort of that blended operation is that the summer could help offset the costs of, you know, operating as an educational vessel during the other months of the year.
So if you're just joining us, this is KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, and I am Aaron Barnett, today's host of Coastal Cafe, and we are speaking with Jake Beattie, Executive Director of the Northwest Maritime Center. So, Jake, is there anything you want to highlight that is coming down the pike from the Maritime Center that folks in Western Washington, particularly Jefferson County, should know about?
Sure. There's a couple things that spring to mind. One, we mentioned earlier that Race to Alaska in 2021, so this year's Race to Alaska, we've just recently canceled. But I wanted to add that so in its place, we created another event. We're calling the Washington 360, which is a 360-mile round-trip race from Port Townsend to Port Townsend. And sort of the same style of Race to Alaska. It's supposed to be unsupported. It's supposed to be engineless or human-powered and wind-powered. But instead of needing to cross a border in COVID risky times or going into rural communities and potentially introducing something from the United States into a place that really just can't support, you know, with really limited hospital facilities.
Right.
Keeping it very local. So keeping it with inside the Washington bubble. And it would be a race that starts from here and then goes to Olympia, then heads back up past Oak Harbor. And their racers have a choice of either going out Deception Pass or up the Swinomish Slough, which is, have you ever been up that, Aaron? It's like a, essentially like a little ditch between Fidalgo Island and the mainland that lots of tide. And it's probably about 15 miles long or something. It's pretty long.
Yeah, I kept my boat up there for a long time. Lived in Yukon.
Cool. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then we go to Bellingham, then Point Roberts, and then back to Port Townsend. And I think it should be fun in that we're also not requiring, unlike the Race to Alaska, where you can't have a motor on board at all. We're just saying there is no point during the race can you use the motor. It's a little less barrier entry for people with, you know, inboards or something that they don't want to uninstall just to do the race. So,
right.
I think it should be good because it's a race that can take the place for the Race to Alaska folks. It also can take the place for, you know, people who are going across the border and do the round Vancouver Island race or Swisher. And we're also letting some like stand-up paddleboarders can do it. And it's the same sort of bunch of wacky crafts that head to Alaska during the Race to Alaska are welcomed to do this race too.
Right. Well, it sounds exciting because it means that people are going to have to really dig into their tide and current tables to figure out how to make that work.
Yeah, there are a lot of tidal gates. Yeah.
Yeah. So is it going to be like a log race where people have to check any checkpoints or they have to get back to Port Townsend by a certain time?
Well, not like a log race where people are sort of predicting their time, but...
Right, that's what I meant.
There will be three classes, so that's another difference with the Race to Alaska. There's going to be a human-powered class and then kind of a racy class and then a cruiser-y class. And each of them will have their own sort of set of standings. There's no $10,000 prize. We are doing... like heavyweight champion of the world type, you know, WWF wrestling belts instead of trophies. So that'll be fun.
Well, I'd rather have that than a set of steak knives.
Well, great. Then you know how you can get it, Aaron.
Yeah. are you going to have the steak knives or is that going to be not in this race?
This race. No, that's a Race to Alaska only sort of a thing.
Okay. Well, who's making the belts? I'm just curious. How do you get belts like that?
You know, I'm going to say the internet. I don't know. So that's the brand new race, the 7048, which is that human powered race we also do from Tacoma to Port Townsend. We haven't canceled that yet. We think we can run that. There won't be any street parties. There won't be a big ruckus this year. There won't be racer events. But, you know, if you just look at the activity of these races, as long as the boats themselves, the crews are, you know, families and households or, you know, whatever bubble is COVID appropriate at that point, it's actually a pretty safe activity and one that spectators can enjoy too. All the boats will have trackers on them, just like all the other races. So people can watch at home. There will be some form of coverage. So, it'll be fun to watch and observe, and it should be able to be pulled off in a relatively COVID friendly way. So that should be fun.
So for these races, if one of our listeners here is interested in signing up, where would they go to get more information about the race and registering?
Sure. It's all on the nwmaritime.org website. And the Washington 360 is one of the sort of splash sliders that you initially pop up when you go to our website.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to add?
So the other thing that we're doing this spring, well, I guess winter technically, is kind of based on our virtual festival that we put on. And I'm not sure, I think you know this, Aaron, but I'm not sure your listeners do. So when the Wooden Boat Festival, Port Townsend Wooden Boat Festival, we had to cancel back, like we canceled in April of last year just because we saw the writing on the wall. But we, instead of just canceling and sitting on our laurels, we canceled and decided to do we called it a virtual Wooden Boat Festival, which turned out to be, about a month-long maritime-based film and live interview television show that had a live 9-hour segment, and it had curated content from all over the world. And we had live interviews via satellites from like 3 or 4 different continents. And anyway, it was pretty fun, and a few thousand people from, you know, across the country and across the world. I think we had 56 different countries tune in, which is pretty fun. So we're doing something similar to that. We're calling it the Ask an Expert Winter Series. So it's less of film and more presentations and interviews with some pretty cool, you know, world-renowned people. Like the first one's with Lynn Pardee, and that actually is Wednesday. Then it's also got Douglas Brooks, who's building a Japanese boat, or a couple who's cruising Mexico during COVID and how people can think about that. One that I'm really excited about is February 17th. It's Chris Chase, formerly of the Shipwrights Co-op, now of the Western Flyer Project, and Susan Schillinghaw talking about the Western Flyer Project, actually. The backstory, the project as it is, it's you know, that's that... I almost said Hemingway, but that's totally the wrong one.
Steinbeck.
It's Steinbeck. Thank you. It's the other American one. Yeah, it's the Steinbeck, and it's a great boat. It's an amazing restoration. It's a fascinating backstory with Port Townsend as part of it, actually. It's a great little series, and there's some local talent. There's international talent talking about sort of both techniques, projects. Anyway, that's on our website too. It's called the Winter Ask an Expert series. It's just something to do while we wait for the vaccine.
Is there any, for the Wooden Boat Festival, if it happens in the fall, is there going to be some sort of showcase guest? I heard some rumblings of the Draken Longship coming for this year's Wooden Boat Festival. Is that still a possibility?
The Draken was a pre-COVID plan, and I think at this point the Draken is not going to be able to come this year, but it might be able to come in 2022. So I think the biggest thing we're working on for this year is, can we pull it off? And if we can, how can we incorporate some of the great stuff and the great sort of techniques and presentation styles that we used during the virtual Wooden Boat Festival? How can we incorporate that so people can attend, but also attend at home, and also, you know, have a professional video sort of record of the presentations they just saw when they go home.
So if there were any in-person activities down at Point Hudson, what, do you have any idea what that would look like, or what they would entail?
Well, you know, what our working assumption is right now is that we may be in phase 4 like conditions by September, which means in phase 4, I think you have like professional sports stadiums are full again. So it'll look probably some, you know, if you squint, it probably looks the same. There are going to be some workarounds that are still working out, you know, especially with the presentation space, the inside presentation spaces, especially. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to be cavalier about it. You know, I've been really proud about how the Port Townsend community has been taking it really seriously. Like, we're probably of the communities in the state, we're the one taking it the most seriously in a state that takes it pretty seriously. And we want to be part of that effort. We don't want to buck that trend.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to agree with you. Jefferson County, I'd say, has done pretty darn well, you know, if you compare it with other counties. As the pandemic, how has that affected the morale of your outfit, you know, and the people you're working with?
Yeah, that's a hard question, Aaron. So
I know you don't have to answer it if you don't want to.
Maybe I'll just answer it generally. Like, we are doing okay. You know, we marshaled resources as well as we could, kind of squirreled them away. But, you know, the Maritime Center at this time last year, I think we had 57 people working there. And we were about on track to be about a $5.5 million a year organization, and, you know, had some expansion plans in the works for some program things. And once we realized what the pandemic would mean for our programs and for, you know, our operations in general, you know, I think by the time June or July were around, we were about 30%, 20 or 30% of what we were in January.
Mm-hmm.
And we're building back from there, but it's certainly been a sad sort of roller coaster. It's like this very highly functional, you know, well impassioned community serving team had to sort of scatter to the winds, and, you know, we're slowly gathering them back. But we also sort of did that intentionally so that we could have the resources to grow back when the time was right. So right now we're actually in a pretty big hiring phase where we're hiring key leadership positions. We're hiring people back to continue to do the work they were doing beforehand, and actually growing. I'm anticipating we're probably going to grow by about 20% over the next year from where we were last year.
Oh.
So I think we're going to weather the storm fine. Mm-hmm. It's been painful, but I think thanks to the support of the community, we're gonna be okay.
That's really good to hear. What were some of the programs you were going to expand on that you had to?
Oh, these are all secret. We can't talk about these.
Well, are there any you can talk about?
No, actually, there's still some stuff out there. Like, I would say there's going to be some really powerful, inspiring, good news stories coming out of the Maritime Center in the next 6 to 9 months. And I can't wait to share that with the community, but just now you just have to be on pins and needles.
Well, that's the answer I was looking for. A good optimistic bag and general answer. Okay. So thank you very much, Jake, for joining us today. This is Aaron Barnett, and you've been listening to Coastal Cafe, a joint production of Washington Sea Grant at the UW College of the Environment and KPTZ 91.9 FM. Washington Sea Grant helps people and marine life thrive by providing research, technical expertise, and education to support the conservation of our ocean and coastlines. I'd like to thank our program director, Larry Stein, and production engineer, Jared Dufresne. And as always, a special shout out to the band Ku Eek for sharing their music with us at the open and closing of this program. Thank you for listening and have a great day.